Immigration officials will hold a deportation hearing Monday in Detroit for a Kurdish immigrant they say supported terrorist groups. The proceedings against Ibrahim Parlak are causing a furor among people in the small Michigan town where he's lived for more than a decade. Supporters say he isn't a terrorist, but a victim of what they call Homeland Security run amok. From Detroit Public Radio, Quinn Kleinfelter reports.
Hussein, what time do the tennis players come in?
In a small Middle Eastern restaurant in the Lake Michigan beachfront hamlet of Harbert, Michigan, Martin Zuris is frowning. Not from the pain in his broken foot, he says, but from the memory of painful events that began to unfold last June here at the Cafe Gulistan. That's when the cafe's owner, a quiet Kurdish immigrant named Ibrahim Parlak, was taken into custody by U.S. authorities.
I was absolutely shocked. I couldn't believe it. He was here in this country since 1991. He got political asylum, and suddenly coming and arresting him, that was a big shocker. It's like, why are they now arresting him after all those years?
The 42-year-old Parlak does have a criminal history in Turkey. He'd served 18 months in prison. U.S. officials say it was for killing two Turkish soldiers amid border disputes there in the 1980s. Parlak maintained he'd never shot anyone and feared he might face execution. He fled to the U.S. in 1991 and was granted asylum because the U.S. government agreed he would likely be imprisoned and tortured if he was returned to Turkey. This summer, after his arrest by immigration officials, Parlak was ready to sell his cafe to pay for attorney's fees. But Zuris wouldn't hear of it. He began sending out flyers and blue and white Free Ibrahim signs. On his card, Zuris' Free Ibrahim sticker is next to a Bush-Cheney campaign sticker and one that reads, "Kerry is scary." A few miles and two tiny towns away from Harbert lies Union Pier and Milda's Corner Market. Co-owner Linus Johansenis says he'd always liked the quiet Kurdish chef and was happy to post signs on his store.
I painted that Free Ibrahim all across, and as I was doing it, people were honking their cars. They were stopping. And then, you know, people are like, well, you know, we want to donate money, so she runs to the back of the store and gets a can and prints out a thing, donations, and we put it on the counter, and boom, people are shoving money into it and checks.
The legal fund currently stands at about $60,000. Johansenis says no matter what their political persuasion is, most of those donating money are upset that Homeland Security would threaten to deport a quiet Kurdish chef who hasn't seemed to threaten anyone else during the 14 years he's lived in Michigan.
People, I think, feel enough is enough. This Homeland Security stuff has hit our backyard here, and we're making a stand.
Even some federal officials say they're surprised by the breadth and intensity of support for Parlak, but the government says it doesn't really matter. Parlak violated immigration law.
Had he been truthful from the very beginning with his contacts with the Legacy Immigration and Naturalization Service, he never would have been allowed to remain in the country.
Rob Baker directs the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Field Office in Detroit. He says when Parlak applied for a green card in 1993, and again when he later applied for citizenship, he failed to indicate that he'd been convicted of a crime. Baker says that omission violates immigration law. In recent months, the government also charged Parlak with supporting terrorism. He was associated with the Kurdistan Workers' Party, which the U.S. classified as a terrorist organization in 1997, long after Parlak had fled to the U.S. Baker acknowledges some critics see the terrorism charge as overkill, but he says the government is simply following the letter of the law.
I can understand how people would think this is somehow tied to the atmosphere in post-9/11. They are thinking that the very information that we were in possession of allowed him to get asylum now is being used against him. That is simply not true. This has been a systematic omission of the truth at the right time when it benefits him.
But one of Parlak's team of seven attorneys, Jay Marhofer of the Chicago law firm Latham & Watkins, says the government should have known Parlak had served time in Turkey because that was the reason he was granted asylum.
Cases where people check off the wrong boxes on various government forms occur frequently. And even when that occurs, it is highly likely that that person will not be deported. But what we have seen in this case is a continuing escalation of the charges by the government.
Monday, an immigration judge in Detroit will hear Parlak's case. Many people from his adopted hometown plan to drive the four-hour trek to Detroit to make a show of support at the hearing. For NPR News, I'm Quinn Kleinfelter in Detroit.